Let's get on that G&M phone line and welcome into the program our friend Gary Tanguay of NBC Sports Boston. Gary, how are you?
You have John O'Hurley. Isn't he awesome?
He is great. He is such a good guy.
Native Massachusetts, right, I believe?
Kittery. Born in Kittery.
Oh, he's born in Kittery?
Yes.
Well, Kittery's not really Maine.
No, it's the other Maine, but we'll count it.
Yeah, I know. It's the other Maine. You and I both know that. What's going on, Richie?
I'm just doing our thing here, getting ready for a big weekend. A lot going on. Hey, I want to talk Boston sports with you, of course, but also I want to talk about a movie that's getting a whole lot of buzz that you were a part of. Tell us a little bit about Chappaquiddick.
Well, Rich, you're a history buff, and, well, quite frankly, I consider you a historian. You're very, very astute, to be serious for once. With your history, you are going to love this movie. And when I read the script, it sounds so Hollywood, doesn't it? When I first read the script, I sound like such an ass. But, you know, I have a part in it. But, you know, they said, I was surprised they sent me the whole script, and I read the whole script, and I went, boy, and we all know that the concept, the story of Chappaquiddick, most of us anyways, and I thought, this could be slow. You know, it's historical, you know, it could be, there's not a lot of shoot 'em up, bang, bang, you know. But John Curran, the director, was outstanding in turning this from what could have been a biopic type thing into a political mystery slash thriller, to the point where they had a media screening, and I've seen it, and my wife went, and you know, people who don't know Chappaquiddick and who weren't around and don't really understand it are into the movie. I mean, it really moves. You know, it's like, what's going to happen next? And it's a tremendous film because it is just astounding what he got away with, how he got away with it, and the fact that a lot of people in Massachusetts knew he did it, and they still voted for him. It's amazing. You know, I mean, John, the director, did a great job at that. I don't want to give away too much, but, you know, there's some man on the street interviews, you know, where they talk to different people and they say, well, do you think that Senator, oh, yes, he's guilty. Would you vote for him? Oh, absolutely. You know, it was just that whole, it illustrates, my wife Randy said it reminded her of The Crown. Number one, it is the same quality as The Crown. And number two, it's people just wanted a royal family, you know. People needed something to believe in, and believe me, the Kennedys were flawed.
Well, and it also, you know, it rings true with what's going on today, that there's a disconnect, and clearly always has been with people, that they'll ignore things if they really believe in that person or their cause.
No question, Rich. You're going to love it, Rich. I think that everybody should go. It's a great movie.
And you play, you play Rose Kennedy, right?
Well, Jackie. I put on the glasses.
You look so good with your pillbox hat.
Yeah, that's right. No, I play Bob Clark, who was an ABC News reporter at the time and covered the Senate, covered the Capitol. And I do a sit-down interview with Jason Clark, who plays Ted Kennedy. And it sets up the beginning of the movie, and then it's played back later in the movie where, you know, Clancy Brown's, you know, playing McNamara, and Gaffigan is playing, you know, the state attorney general, and they're all watching the interview on TV. And so it was a big thrill. I mean, we shot at the Boston Public Library, and I worked with Jason Clark, who, to me, when you see this, people are going to go, okay, holy cow, Jason Clark, because he's been in a lot of things, and he's considered a very good actor. But I think this is really going to catapult him, you know, into the next level where he should be. Because, Rich, the crazy thing about it, is he'd be sitting there, and he had to wear fake teeth. You know, he had this fake teeth that he had to wear. So not only did he have to overcome a speech slur because he had to wear these stupid fake teeth, but I would ask him a question. I'd go, Senator, you know, what is it like being in the shadow of your older brother, John Kennedy? He'd go, you know, Mr. Kennedy, and he'd do the whole Ted Kennedy thing. And then he'd go, cut, and he's from Australia. And he'd just go into, bloody Gary, those freaking papers.
Wow.
Jesus. Is anybody going to beat him? And I was like, wait a minute. I just went from Ted Kennedy to Crocodile Dundee, you know? I mean, he's just
sounds like phenomenal. you got some good screen time then, huh?
You know, for this, I mean, generally, you know, when I've played the stuff in the past, I've played, you know, you play a news, like in Bleach for this. I was, you know, I interviewed Ted Levine, Lou Duva, Walking Away, and, you know, from one of the fights in Vegas. And, I've played newscasters. You know, I've interviewed Joe Pantoliano, and but this is an actual sit down. It's not. I don't want to get carried away here. It's the most I've ever had. Let's put it that way.
That's awesome. You know? Well, it's going to make it extra fun for me because I was excited to see the movie anyway because of my love of history. But and seeing you in there is going to make it even better.
Well, it's amazing. You need to see it because one of the things, and I encourage people. You know, I encourage young people to see it because they'll go, "Where are the cell phones?" Because if there's no way this happens today.
Right.
Forget about it. I mean, it's on TMZ in 10 minutes. You know, and you know, it's just. You know, like the first person that shows up and finds the car, it's click, 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 click.
Right.
And it's just, you know, it's not happening.
So do you think the filmmakers got to the truth of what happened?
I do. Because he committed murder. I mean, he did. I mean, I don't want to get, like, you know, I want you to watch it, but I mean, you know, and you'll see that Kate Mara, who plays Mary Jo Kopechne, I mean, you know, and this has been documented. Ted's in Martha's Vineyard. You know, he's over by Martha's Vineyard trying to come up with an alibi, and she's gasping for air. You know, she stayed like 3 hours in the car. You know, the sheriff shows up and says, you know, somebody call me. I would have had her in 20 minutes. Now, Ted's defense was he tried to get her out, but the tide was too hard. Now, Jason Clark, being the actor that he is, went down the Chappaquiddick, went into the bridge, and jumped in the water. Did the same thing, reenacted the whole scene himself. And he said every time he came up, he found himself 25 feet further away. You know, like the tide would pull him out. So there was some legitimacy to that. It was dark, couldn't fight the tide, couldn't get in there. But once that happened, you know, Ted said, "I got to cover this up."
Very interesting. Well, looking forward to it. Chappaquiddick, our friend Gary Tangway, a part of it.
Gaffigan's in it too. Ed Helms, phenomenal.
Oh, that great cast. Let's talk Sox. Well, it's all over. Bullpen blows up. Season done. Thanks, Alex Corey. Now you're John Farrell. What the hell happened?
I know. I mean, I know you watch us. Maloney was like, I think we need to stream Lou Maloney watching a Sox game. It's unbelievable. He's just out of his mind. He's just that. Ah, there you go. Blows it. There you go. I mean, he's just off. It's hilarious. It just, you know, become completely unhinged when the Sox blow the game. But Felger said it best on the show last night. Opening day is the most overreactive day of the season.
No question.
And we just, you know, you just do it and you're like, what? You know, because, you know, it's 162. So I just want him to be likable, Rich, you know, because Boston has become such a celebrity town with sports now. Not only do you have to be good, but you have to be likable, you know, and I just want him to be likable. They weren't likable last year. You know, it's just the only root for him.
Yeah.
You know, the Celtics don't have any of their stars. You know, they went 5 in a row. You're rooting for them, you know? You know, make these guys likable.
Oh, I agree. Well, speaking of the Celtics, without those stars, do they really need a healthy Kyrie to get past the opening round series?
Opening round, no. Second round could be tough because it could face Cleveland. I think they can beat Philadelphia in the second round with a 75% Kyrie. I mean, it'd be a nail-biter in the second round, I think. You know, playoffs are different, but, you know, the Sixers are a young team. So if they play the Sixers in the second round, I think they can get out. That's what they need. They need to play the Sixers in the second round, get out of that, have Kyrie healthy for the conference finals. Because I'm very suspicious of the whole injury thing with Kyrie. I don't have a good feeling about it. I feel the Celtics want him to shut it down because they just want to have him ready for next year. And I think they're saying all the right things, no structural damage. But, my God, something's not right. I mean, you know, I don't know what the hell's going on in that knee, but if you get arrested 3 to 6 weeks, you know, it's not a bruise.
Right.
So I think they got to get to the finals in order for him to help.
Gary Tangway joining
finals,
us.
Conference finals.
All right. You want Johnny Manziel to be the next Patriots quarterback?
Well, I want to bring him in because, number one, I believe in second chances because you gave me more than one back in the day. And number two, fired my ass at least 3 times. But I also think that he's a football player, which Belichick likes. And I think that I do believe he loves the game, and I do believe he was completely screwed up, and he may be bipolar, and you know, mental illness is no joke, and you take a look at the alcohol and so forth, you know, if he's clean, I think he can be helpful. Now, do I expect him to be the next Tom Brady? No. But when Tom Brady goes, Jimmy Garoppolo is gone. You know, who's taking over? So you may have to have a couple of years where you might need a Johnny Football to fill the gap while you're looking for the next guy. That's all I'm saying.
Would he have a better shot either here or even up in Canada if he changed position?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why he doesn't go to Canada. I think he's waiting to see what happens here. But I would think that going to Canada would only help him. I mean, he'd play. You know, he certainly would play. But he goes to Patriot games. He was at least three Patriot games last year. You know? So, I don't know. But I'd bring him in. Absolutely, I'd bring him in.
Boston Bruins took care of business last night. Another impressive outing. Now the best record in the East. How did this happen? Did anybody see this coming?
You know, I watched today. They were playing Miracle, you know, with Kurt Russell and Brooks. And that's one of those movies where I woke up and it was on Showtime because I think I watched Homeland last night. And I got, you know, I'm like sucked in. And it's just before he gives the speech, Rich, you know, tonight you skate with him. Tonight we are the greatest hockey team in the world. And you're just like ready to jump through the screen. And Ruzioni scores the goal. And Jim Craig, you know, has the flag over his shoulders after the win over Finland. He's looking for his father. And I'm like crying. Right. I'm just like, and Randy's like, you're a moron. Hockey is such an emotional game. It's such an emotional game. And Cassidy has this team buying in. You know, he came in, he plays the young kids, you know, and they believe. And I understand you have to have stick handling and you have to have that ability. But these guys believe. I mean, they get after it. And it's all the coach. And Sweeney. You know, Sweeney brought in, he's brought in these young guys, and there's a lot of potential, and the coach plays them. He says, screw it, let's roll, you know? So that's, if Claude was here, this would not be happening.
I agree with
him. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's such an emotional game. It's, you know, it is. It's just such a, and he's got them buying in, man. He's got them buying in. I think in the playoffs, they're very dangerous. As we know in hockey, who the hell, anything can happen.
Right, absolutely.
But, them, you know, he's coach of the year as far as I'm concerned.
Hey, speaking of movies, before we let you go, we were talking about before we came on the air. I don't know if you've seen it yet. I watched most of it last night, the Judd Apatow documentary on Gary Shandling.
I got to watch it.
It is so good.
With him. How good is it?
Oh, it's fantastic. And yeah. Man, you'll be laughing. You'll be crying. Some of the stories... He was an interesting, very complex guy. Bob Saget emerges as a very compelling figure in this, who gets quite emotional because when Shandling sued his agent, he was also Saget's agent and best buddy. And when Saget didn't cut ties with him, he got cut off by Shandling, and he gets very emotional talking about that.
You know, that whole, it's interesting because I listen to a lot of podcasts too, you know, with whether it's Pollock or Mark Maron and, you know, there's this whole comedic underworld or backstage world, you know, that is very, very tight. There's certainly very cliques, things along that nature. And Saget's highly regarded. And the other thing is, the more I listen to, like, Shandling was a god.
Oh, yeah.
Shandling was a god to people. I mean, he was like, you know, like Norm Macdonald is like this comedic god, you know, because he's such a recluse. And Shandling's the same way.
Oh, yeah. There's a scene where they're in a club, and in the green room, it's Chris Rock and Seinfeld, and they're just in awe watching on the monitors as Shandling kills it. And this is late career, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a god. I mean, I know that he was into Eastern religion, Buddha, and he had a basketball game. He used to have a basketball game at his house. And, like, I think Whitney Cummings, I was listening to her the other day, and she just, you know, raved about him. I mean, he was, like, sort of an uncle to, like, all the comedians.
Yeah, it's a fascinating piece of work. I've got about an hour left to go on it, but it's great.
I got to tell you, I guess I haven't watched him enough, but I never thought he was that funny.
Well, I loved his shows. His stand-up was good, but... it's Gary Shandling's show, and then Larry Sanders was just
Larry
so
Sanders.
Ahead of
yeah.
his time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was. I mean, you know, to me right now, my guy is Larry David. He's the king. But I got to check it out because that stuff's fascinating.
Yeah, very good. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you and what sounds like a fantastic film, Chappaquiddick. Who's on tonight with you on Early Edition?
Well, actually, I'm off tonight.
Oh, nice. Even better.
Friday, and we got the kids, and you know, since we're a multi-ethnic home, we got a little Passover tonight. Little Easter on Sunday. We check all the boxes.
Something for everybody. I like that, Gary. Well, enjoy your weekend. Appreciate it, Rick, as always.
Yeah, when you watch Chappaquiddick, give me a call. I would love to hear your thoughts on that. I know you'll think I'm wonderful, but just because I know you're a big history guy, on the whole movie, give me a shout.
I will, absolutely. Thanks, Gary.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, we'll see you, buddy. That's Gary Tagway here, NBC Sports Boston.